السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأصل والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We continue this evening in the commentary of Surah Luqman, chapter number 31 of the Noble Quran. And up until this point, we've been looking at some introductory discussions that Allah has been giving to us, and we actually hadn't yet gotten to the stage of talking about Luqman himself. And from tonight, that will change, and going on for the next 6 or 7 sessions, we'll actually see the direct advice, the words of counsel and wisdom that Luqman gives to his son when he advises him and gives him admonition. But tonight, for the discussion, which is verse number 12, we're going to actually just look at a piece of advice that Allah is first of all giving to Luqman. And obviously not only to Luqman, it is also very pertinent and relevant to even all of us who are here today. But before we go to that verse, just give us a brief understanding of who Luqman is. Because we know from the hadith, as this one says from our Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We know that Luqman, as the words of Rasulullah state, that he was not a prophet, Luqman. But rather, when Rasulullah was pressed to explain who Luqman is, he says that he was a righteous servant of Allah who engaged in tafakkur, in contemplation and reflection, and he had true unwavering faith in Allah. And he loved Allah, and Allah loved him. And this resulted in the fact that Luqman is given hikmah or wisdom. Right. So first off, we see that Allah sometimes magnifies people in the Quran, men and women who are not necessarily prophets. So yes, we have, you know, reference to Ibrahim in the Quran and a surah named after him. We have many prophets that are mentioned by Allah by name within the Quran. But also there are times when Allah mentions noble men and women who are not prophets. Maryam alayhi salam, for example, she's not a prophet. But yet she's not only mentioned in the Quran, but a chapter, number 19, is named after her. Ashabul Kahf, great men who are not prophets, but Allah gives us their story in chapter 18 that we can learn from them. And so similar is the case with Luqman, that he is not a prophet, he's not a Nabi, he's not an Imam. But because of wisdom that he was given and that he exemplifies, we see that Allah names a chapter of the Quran after him, and that a large portion of his advice to his son, well, maybe not a large, because the hadith talk about even more of the advice, but what we have in the Quran, these 6 or 7 pieces that we'll look at over the nights to come, that we'll see that even his speech becomes a point of reference that Allah quotes it within the Quran. A brief information and some points about who Luqman is. We're told that he is an African man, either from Ethiopia or Egypt or Sudan, so that northeastern region of Africa. We're told that originally he was a slave who was actually given freedom when his owner saw that he was such a wise, such a smart individual, one who not only had knowledge but wisdom, and we'll talk about that in the next slide, that he basically was given his freedom and he was allowed to, you know, be a free man at that point in time. And eventually we're told he ends up amongst Bani Israel, the tribes of Israel. And that at the time of Nabi Dawood, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, he becomes a judge within that system. And not only a judge, but we're told that he becomes a teacher of Dawood. So Dawood being a prophet of Allah, Nabi of Allah, Luqman actually becomes his teacher, his, you know, moral teacher in lessons. And this shouldn't be surprising, because the fact, when we look at the Quran, again, chapter 18, when we look at the story of Musa and Khidr, Musa, who is a Nabi of Allah, Kalimullah, as Allah calls him, the one that Allah speaks to, Khidr becomes this man who is a teacher of a prophet. So there is precedent within the Quran of prophets being taught by non-prophets. So Luqman ends up being in the court of Nabi Dawood and a teacher of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And we're told that he's buried in the city of Ramla, which is currently in occupied Palestine. So let me now go to the verse of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with us about the introduction to the advice of Luqman to his son. And the verse says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Allah says, certainly we gave Luqman wisdom, hikmah, saying, give thanks to God, and whoever gives thanks, continuously they give thanks only for their own sake. And whoever is ungrateful, even one time in their life, let them know that God is indeed all sufficient, all praised. I've highlighted a few words in red here that I want to reflect upon for a few minutes, because they really form the crux of this verse and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know about Luqman and this piece of advice that Allah is first sharing with him before Luqman speaks to his son. So Allah says, indeed, we gave Luqman hikmah, wisdom. And one of the differentiators that the hadith tell us and the commentators speak about when they look at this verse is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You know, sometimes people might use these interchangeably. That's a wise person, you know, and they might mean he's knowledgeable. Or they might find somebody who actually has wisdom, and we say he's smart, he knows a lot. But really the difference between knowledge or ilm and hikmah and wisdom is that knowledge simply means to know something. It means to know some facts and figures. But wisdom means that you're able to use it at the time when that is required, right? So knowledgeable people, rather people who have knowledge, they may say the right thing, but at the wrong time, right? There are a lot of things that we know to be truths about reality, about Islam, right? But there are certain things we don't say in public, we don't share with others. And so when one has wisdom, they don't say everything that they know, rather they only say those things that need to be said at that particular time. And this is not something that you can just pick up in a school, in a class, you know, and learn how to be wise, how to have hikmah, what the Quran calls it. And keep in mind, what I'm giving to you is just one definition of hikmah and wisdom and knowledge and wisdom. Obviously, our scholars and the imams, even greater than that, have gone into much greater depth of what the difference between knowledge and wisdom is. But one understanding, again, is knowledge is knowing something. But when you're wise, you know when to say what you need to say, right? Sometimes to say nothing speaks more than opening your mouth. And a person who has hikmah from Allah, because hikmah, we believe from the Quranic perspective and from our scholars, is something which is a God-given gift. Right? It is a gift that Allah gives to certain people out of His servants, male or female, who fulfill certain criteria within their life, who are worthy of receiving hikmah from Allah. And as the Quran tells us that whoever has been given hikmah, Allah says that they've been given khayran kathiran. They have been given an abundance of goodness. So hikmah is the key in life. Wisdom, you can Google an article, you can go to YouTube and watch a video and gain knowledge. But you can't Google the process of gaining hikmah. That is something which is coming from Allah. And so after Allah tells us that He gives Luqman wisdom, the commandment Allah gives to Luqman, He says that give thanks to Allah, give thanks to God. And whoever gives thanks continuously, he only does so for his own sake. One of the points that we want to look at here is that Allah uses the present tense verb for giving thanks. فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. When Allah says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ, that this is a present tense verb. And the scholars of the Quran tell us that when it's a present tense verb, it means it is a continuous action. So just as Allah continues to give you and I blessings every minute of the day, every second, that verb there means that we have to continuously be in a state of gratitude to Allah. We have to continuously, day in and day out, every minute of the day, show thanks to Allah for what He has given us. And this is the first thing that Allah shows us to Luqman. that when you have a blessing from Allah, and I'll elaborate on shukr a little bit later, but when we are given something by Allah, whether it be a material blessing, whether it be a spiritual blessing, whether it be the power to just hear, you know, there are people out there in the world who are born deaf. They can't hear a single thing. They people who are born blind, people who are, you know, quadriplegics, people who have no arms, no legs. And so when we see that you and I have so much, this necessitates that the shukr, the thanks to Allah, has to be a continuous thanks. It's not just after, you know, after our namaz, we tell the children in madrasa, do a sajda of shukr. Yes, that's good to get into that routine. But true thankfulness of Allah means we thank Allah at every moment, every instant of the day. And conversely, he says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. Here, kafar doesn't mean to be a disbeliever. You know, we use this term. He's a kafir. He's a disbeliever. But kufr in the Quran comes in at least four different meanings. One of them is a farmer. The Quran uses the verb kafara. He calls the kuffar, or Allah uses the word kuffar to refer to a farmer. Why a farmer? Because the farmer takes a seed, he plants it in the ground, and what does he do? He covers it, right? He covers the seed. So Allah says in the Quran that a farmer is referred to as a kafir, or in the plural, the kuffar. So when we say a person is a kafir, what we mean is that they are covering over the truth. So a person who is not a Muslim, we're not going to say that they're kafir because maybe they don't know the truth, right? A majority of the people that live in our society today, they don't know the truth about Islam because we haven't done our responsibility. We expect them to go to the internet and Google Islam and learn about it. But we don't give them an opportunity to come into our centers, nor do we go to them to introduce Islam to them. So how do we call them a kafir when they are not covering the truth? They're not covering it because they don't know the truth. Now, when you have somebody who knows about Islam and they're openly belligerent, they're openly acting against the religion, then yes, they are a kafir because they know what the truth is, but because of personal benefit for financial gain, political, social, they don't want to accept the religion. So Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, whoever is ungrateful to Allah. So here, kufr is the opposite of shukr. Shukr to be thankful, kufr to be unthankful or ungrateful for a blessing. But here it's interesting because Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. And Allah uses the past tense verb, not the present tense. So for shukr, it was a present tense, meaning a continuous showing of thanks. But when Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, how the scholars explain that word, why it's a past tense, is they say that even the smallest show of ungratitude to Allah is too much for us. Even us, for example, getting sick and we say, oh man, why did I get sick again? That small show of ungratitude to Allah is enough to render us to be ungrateful for Allah's blessings. It's just one time I said it. One time I complained about Allah doing something, giving me a sickness or me losing my job or losing maybe a family member. But in the eyes of Allah, and we see this even in Surah Insan, even one show of ingratitude to Allah, we're told, is too much. It's too much for us to be able to even complain about one little thing that might happen to us. And especially when we reflect as followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you know, we have a history of 14 infallibles who suffered untold tragedies. You know, even what we hear on the minbar in Muharram about Karbala, what we hear maybe is 1/1000th of what actually transpired on that day. If we were to maybe be there, maybe our souls would have left our bodies just seeing what happened. So if we reflect what happened to the prophets and to the imams and to the family of Rasulullah, then the tragedies that we face, I don't want to downplay our own tragedies because what you and I go through is sometimes very difficult. But when we put our tragedies in perspective to what happened to Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhim as-salam, we realize that our difficulties pale in comparison to what they went through. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So this is just two of these words in this verse that Allah shows us that we have to think about. And unfortunately, when you look at a translation of this surah, we don't get this depth until we go into the commentary and to investigate the meaning of each and every one of these words. But Allah shows us that, again, the minimal show of disrespect of Allah's blessings is enough to render us to be ungrateful for the bounties of Allah. When we look at shukr, people will say, well, what does it mean to be thankful? Is it enough just to put my head on the ground and say shukran lillah? To take the dhikr beads and say shukran lillah 100 times? Is that what it means to be thankful? Because I just mentioned that we should be thankful every moment of the day. Every minute of every day, we should be thankful to Allah. Does that mean I expect us to be on the prayer mat every day? Obviously not. Does it mean we have to make dua every single second of the day and leave our job and leave our responsibilities? Obviously not. And so when the scholars talk about what it means to do thank or to be thankful, to show shukr or gratitude to Allah, they tell us that it's these three stages that we have to go through. And this is actually based upon a hadith that we have from Rasul and Ala Rasul, where they tell us that the very first stage of thanks is to recognize the one who has given us that blessing. So if a person comes and gives you a gift, you know, a family member or a friend gives you a gift, they come, it's your birthday, your anniversary, something, you know, you get a promotion at work and they give you a gift, what's the first thing we do? We acknowledge that individual. We say, well, that is the person who gave me the gift, right? And maybe if they don't give it to you in your hand, they might write a card and mail the gift to you. And so at the very first level, when we look at our relationship with Allah, the very first thing that we have to appreciate or realize is when we have a blessing from Allah, a benefaction, is to recognize that it is Allah who has given us that gift, right? That it is Allah who basically has chosen us to be the recipient of His blessings and His favors. But it doesn't stop there. You know, if somebody just came and said, somebody gives you a gift and you say, thank you, and then you walk away, and you throw that gift in the garbage, or you break it, or you do something with it, and they were to see that, obviously they would be upset because they spent their hard-earned money to buy you a gift, and you didn't use it how it should have been used. So after you recognize that the person gave you the gift, and then you do the verbal declaration to thank them, or in our case, thanking Allah for a gift, the third level of shukr is to use that blessing how it was meant to be used. So somebody comes and they give you a cell phone as a gift, let's say, a brand new phone. They expect you to use it as a phone. They don't expect you to use it, you know, as a door stopper or, you know, as a paperweight on your desk. No, they would expect you to use that gift how they gave, what it was made for. Somebody comes and gives you a brand new, a pair of pants or a shirt, or your wife gives you a gift as a tie or a shirt for your birthday. And if she saw you using that to wash your car, obviously she would be upset because it wasn't meant for that. She gave you the tie so you could wear it when you go out so you can look nice. Or she gave you, whatever she gave you for a particular purpose. So when we don't use a blessing for what it was intended for, we've been ungrateful to Allah. And so when Allah gives me two eyes, does He want me to look at non-mahrams? Or does He want me to look at the Quran, or the Kaaba, or the Haram of the Imams, or to look at our parents with a loving eye? Right? If we're using it for the non-permissible, we're not thankful to Allah for that blessing. And if we're not thankful, then as Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, we have been ungrateful for the blessing of Allah. Allah gave us ears. But did He give us ears so we could listen to haram music? Or did He give us ears to listen to ghibat about people talking about one another? Or did He give us ears so we can listen to the Quran being recited? And you know, even in the month of Ramadan, and even outside of Ramadan, even to hear the Quran being recited is in itself reward and thawab. The hadith tell us to recite the Quran, or rather the one who recites the Quran and the one who listens to the recitation of Quran, they both share in the reward, right? So did Allah give me ears to hear Quran or to hear people gossip about one another? And if I'm using it for the impermissible, then I'm not being grateful again for the blessing Allah has given to me. And as Allah says in the Quran, He tells us that وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَعَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you are thankful, I will increase in my blessings. وَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ But if you are ungrateful, Allah says, guess what? My punishment is indeed severe. So we have to realize all three of these stages when we have any blessing, whether it be a material blessing or a spiritual blessing from Allah. Last but not least, and we'll end with this, so just some points that we can learn from this one verse of Surah Luqman, and we'll end with this. The first one, which I had already spoken about, is that wisdom is a gift from Allah. We can't gain it, we can't go and take a course in university or college, you know, wisdom 101, hikmah 101. It doesn't exist in any university in the world. This is something which is a God-given gift, but we have to have the prerequisites. We have to be ready to accept that gift in our lives. And when Allah finds us ready, then that will be something that is bestowed upon us. Number two is that any special blessing which is conferred upon us requires a special show of thanks to Allah. Just as Allah gives Rasulullah al-Kawthar, right? Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar. What does Allah say? He says, Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. So Allah gave the Prophet a gift and He says, this is what you need to do to show thanks for that gift, a special show of thanks. And so what is it when it comes to Luqman or us? When if we are given hikmah, wisdom, we're giving a blessing from Allah. Allah says, Anishkur lillah. Thank Allah for that blessing. So every blessing has a way to show thanks to Allah for that particular blessing. The last two points, and we'll end with this, is when we compare and contrast the blessings of God, what we see in the Quran, we see that, for example, when Nabi Musa alayhi salam is given nubuwa, when he's given prophethood, the very first thing that Allah tells him is to establish the salat, aqimus salat. But when Luqman is given wisdom, the very first thing Allah tells him to do is show thanks, show gratitude for this blessing. So again, we see that there's a comparison and a contrast of blessings which Allah gives and the return which Allah expects in return for that blessing. And last but not least, and I just mentioned this, but we'll repeat it again, is that when a person shows gratitude for a blessing which he's been given by God, then we must realize that that is only for the benefit of us. Allah doesn't benefit. When I thank Allah, He doesn't gain in His Godhood. He doesn't become a greater Allah because insignificant me thanked Allah. Right? As Allah says, He is Ghaniul Hamid. Allah is needless. He doesn't need our blessings, our thanks. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ When we thank Allah, it's only for our own benefit we're doing it. Allah doesn't help, Allah doesn't gain in that thanks that we show to Allah. And we, as we close, we see that in the Quran, Allah tells us that when we give thanks, as Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allah will continue to bestow blessings upon us. When we're thankful to somebody, they continue to give us. Just like in this world, somebody gives you a gift, you thank them, you reciprocate, you buy them a gift on their birthday, their anniversary. Guess what? Next time around, they'll give you another gift because now you have that relationship. And same with Allah. If we are thanking Allah, then obviously He will reciprocate. And He, as He says, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ I will increase you. And if we don't show gratitude, just like in this life, somebody gives you a gift, you don't thank them, you don't use that gift, you don't give them a gift, let's say on a special day, on their birthday, chances are they won't give you something back in return. Right? They might give you something just because they have to out of the fact of they gave you something one time, but that might be the end of the relationship. But when it comes to Allah, obviously Allah doesn't need the gift. It's our way of showing thanks to Allah, which again comes back and benefits us ourselves. We close and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we go through this blessed month of Ramadan that He gives us the ability to continuously show thanks to Him for everything that He has given us. We ask Allah to make the fasting easy on us in these long days. We ask Allah to give us the strength to stand up at night for recitation of the Quran and the Salat and all other mustahab acts of worship in this night, in the nights of Ramadan. We ask Allah to forgive us our sins. And last but not least, we ask Allah to give the thawab of this majlis and the du'as to the souls of all of the marhumin, the deceased from our families, our communities, our friends, the ulama who have left this world, the shuhada who have left this world defending this religion of Islam. And we ask Allah to give them a share in these gatherings in this month of Ramadan. Let us close by reciting a surah Fatiha. But before that, one loud salawat upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.